Get into it, Rizwan. Are you seeing anything you want to talk about?
I'm seeing a lot of new things, actually, Olivia. You know, some of these platforms are actually not new per se, but they have been very significantly modified. And I think the kind of modifications that you are seeing on some of these infantry vehicles and tanks are a reflection of the kind of things that China is witnessing in Ukraine. For example, what you saw the main battle tank just now has been incorporated with an unmanned aerial vehicle, presumably to defeat hostile UAVs that are operating in theater. You're also seeing a lot of laser warning receivers and laser weapons on top of these tanks that have never existed before. So I would imagine, you know, China is calculating a lot of the lessons it has taken in from the situation in Ukraine and putting all the lessons onto those turrets that you saw just now. Mm-hmm. You know, things like laser pointers, laser designators,
right.
Laser receivers are meant to defeat unmanned aerial vehicles.
Okay.
I think it'll be a lot more effective than what the Ukrainians have deployed.
Okay, I want to ask you, how much of what you're seeing right now, and we've had at least one or two defense analysts say that, you know, this parade is going to showcase the PLA's ability, if it chooses to conduct an invasion of Taiwan. Are there indications that they are indeed doing that? And, you know, I guess developing and producing equipment which will help, in terms of invading Taiwan?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of talk about 2027 being the deadline, by which China should be able to have the ability to invade Taiwan. I have long argued that this particular metric may be flawed, you know, because if you were to look at just the kind of weapons that are deployed, it's not enough at the moment, because to have or to mount an invasion of Taiwan, you were required to hit the island, not just in volume, but the bandwidth also. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a certain speed, tempo by which you need to unload your troops,
yep.
The logistics capabilities, the support for such troops when they land on those islands.
Right.
I don't see a lot of evidence of that happening yet. If I may just interrupt myself to point to you this particular weapon known as the YJ-19, that's being revealed for the first time.
Oh.
I'm seeing evidence of a ramjet in that particular weapon, you know, which shows that this is going to be going above supersonic speed.
Okay.
And these kind of weapons are a lot harder to intercept compared to traditional anti-ship missiles.
By sheer fact that it's going much faster.
Yes,
right.
And the fact that it is able also to, I'm seeing a lot of evidence of transponders on the weapons itself, which tells me that the weapon has been designed to defeat the sensors and electronic jamming capabilities of the adversaries.
Okay.
Rolling past you right now are also new submarine launch weapons. For example, this looks like a multi-stage torpedo type of weapon. I'm also seeing evidence like right now, torpedoes that are not propelled by propellers, the one just now, but instead are being propelled by pulse propulsion, which makes such torpedoes a lot harder to detect. Yeah, just like the one that's rolling past our screen right now. You know, these particular torpedoes will probably deploy beyond conventional payloads that is associated with a normal propeller-based torpedoes. You know, they are a lot quieter. The truck that you're looking at right now, I've been trying to look for it on satellite, but I can't. You know, this is the kind of weapon that we'll be seeing in the future. If you recall, Ukraine launched a very daring UAV raid on a lot of Russian facilities some months back, and a lot of these UAVs were deployed from exactly trucks like that.
Okay, so they open up.
So they open up, you know, it looks unassuming in the first place, but when they open up, you will see dozens of drones being launched from such trucks. That's exactly the kind of truck that was rolling past us before this. You know, I gotta say, Anil, if I'm allowed the time, you know, a lot of the vehicles that you're seeing today, you know, the color scheme that they deploy, I'm seeing a lot more olive green rather than desert brown, you know, compared to the 2019 event. And the camouflage pattern that has been applied, you know, will tell us a lot about where China intends to deploy this. You know, we used to see a lot of camouflage patterns, which tells us that they were desert fortifications, you know, desert units along the border with India. But today we are seeing a lot of tropical kind of camouflage that are more olive green, which tells me that, you know, China intends to deploy some of this further south of the country, including in areas perhaps such as the South Chinese Sea islands that it has fortified.
And your mention of the Ukraine war, I'm sure Mr. Putin will be sitting up and watching this very closely.
I would imagine so. Yeah, I think Russia itself is relying a lot on Chinese systems. Of course, China has repeatedly said that they do not provide lethal assistance to the Russians. But I have my doubts over that. And I think, like I said, the parade itself is also a marketing aspect. And I would imagine the Russian leadership, policymakers, for example, to look at some of these systems that have been modified for modern warfare, which involves a lot of UAV, and how these modified weapon systems may be appropriated for the situation that's happening in Ukraine, such as the one, for example, we saw just now. You know, it was a vehicle, land-based vehicle that is dedicated specifically to take down UAVs. You know, the kind of laser effectors that you were seeing. Just behind this truck right now, you will look at that radar-looking thing, but it's actually not a radar. It's too thin to be a radar. My guess is that this is a new type of high-powered microwave weapon that is designed specifically to target drones. Right. So the number of anti-drone countermeasures are, you know, a lot more numerous compared to the previous parade in 2019. So I think that is speaks volumes on the kind of warfare that we're expecting. Mm-hmm.
It is 2025, the age of social media. I'm wondering, you tried all this as well, apart from all the people you speak to on a daily basis. Can you tell us what's happening? You know, what the buzz is on social media right now? Before and, you know, now, I suppose, as well?
And definitely, there's been a lot of excitement and a lot of buzz on social media from people. There's just excitement, right, when you see fighter jets flying above your home. Of course, it has also meant inconveniences, road closures, train stops, skipping stations, especially around this Tiananmen area. My colleagues have been speaking to residents there who say that, you know, yeah, they do understand that this doesn't happen all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, but it was interesting that Chinese officials in the lead up to it did say that they were trying to minimize disruptions to Beijing residents. And so we've seen a lot of videos on Douyin and Weibo all posting that. And a lot of social media as well from the Chinese military, Chinese state media. I saw videos about the kind of fun packs that, you know, residents, rather attendees would be getting. But what also stood out to me that was interesting was that officials are saying that besides this being a showcase, frugality was also being emphasized. So that meant, you know, using existing military sites for the parade training. Okay. Even that goodie bag that I told you about, state media said that it was made with, you know, thrift in mind. And
the context
we know is that China's economy is facing challenges, and the optics of this, as people are watching, Chinese are watching, is going to be very important. But on the issue of PLA's modernization, as Rizwan was talking as well, we've also seen that Chinese state media did also mention that the troops earlier that we saw being inspected include newly established branches, right, including the Aerospace Force, right, the Cyberspace Force, the Information Support Force as well. And one of the key things we have to point out here is that all this military hardware that's being rolled out, the military has said that they are all active duty,
right,
weapons, and they are all domestically produced.
Right. Okay.
And they said one of the key messages is to show that China is able to fight and win modern wars.
Rizwan, I just saw fleetingly what appeared to be robot dog-like thing. So did you see that?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That, those were deployed with a land unit. Yep. You know, I think it's a force multiplier.
Yep.
As we know, China is facing the same kind of problems that a lot of developed countries are facing, which is a falling birth rate. So I think that's a force multiplier for the reduced number of personnel. But if I may, Arnold, I may just interrupt our conversation to just highlight that particular tube-looking weapon that we saw just now. I thought this is interesting. This particular weapon is known as the Poseidon in Russia. In Russian service, it is a nuclear-powered extra-large underwater vehicle, and it is able to carry nuclear-based payloads. It has been modified for North Korea, which is now using a variant of it. And what is the North Koreans are using it for is to use the nuclear payload to effect a small detonation far away from the defences and create a mini tsunami, you know, that will overwhelm the coastal defences of the island. So I find it interesting that China has also adopted the similar vehicle, but it's unclear at the moment, you know, whether they intend to use the same kind of payloads that the Russians and North Koreans have. And if they do, I think that's something that's going to be, you know, very watched, especially by the Americans.
Yeah, Ruslan, we're just seeing some pictures of helicopters, fighters, bombers, if I'm not mistaken. You talk to us about the sort of an aerial display, how advanced it is?
See, what you saw just now were actually unmanned platforms. The one that looks like a helicopter is actually an unmanned rotary wing aircraft that will be operated from its amphibious assault ships. And the one that looks like a triangle is known as the Sharp Sword Unmanned Combat Aerial Vehicle. It is not just used for surveillance, but it also has the ability to strike targets. I thought what is interesting is the fact that it has a bit of a contraption towards the end of the vehicle itself, like a tail hook, and that tells me that that particular equipment will be deployed from the aircraft carrier. You know, because to recover such an aircraft, you will usually use an arresting cable, you know, to recover the aircraft as it comes in. So that tail hook tells me that, you know, it will probably be deployed on perhaps the third aircraft carrier or the first and second one as well.
Which is timely that you mentioned that, because I want to ask you about China's Navy as it stands. I mean, there's a lot of talk about, you know, it being seen off the waters of Australia, for example, causing, you know, a bit of concern there. But is the Chinese Navy at this point really a blue water Navy, or is it still, you know, a bit more white water Navy?
Yeah, the Chinese Navy have been deploying their assets way beyond the Second Island chain for quite a while now. You know, I think you rightly pointed out how whenever there is a military exercise off Australia, for example, you can be sure that they will be deploying their Dongdiao class, which is the intelligence surveillance vessel of Australia. You know, I think it's a very important signal that they are trying to send to their partners and also potential adversaries that Chinese Navy is not just a brown water Navy. It's not meant for defense, but it is also there to be a partner, you know, in the event that you need to support your forces out at sea. Yeah.
But can it sustain, you know, long operations? I mean, as it stands, you mentioned third aircraft carrier, you know, hopefully is going to perhaps come on board, become operational. So it means that they have two, right? Two aircraft carrier groups,
three,
presumably.
Yeah, soon. Yeah.
Three soon, but the US has what, 11?
Yeah, I mean, the measure of how well an aircraft carrier is deployed is not just in the number of ships, but also how long you are able to sustain a deployment out at sea. So that is one of the weaknesses that China has faced in the last few years, you know. But in recent months, you know, they have been accelerating the program known as the Fuji class, which is the replenishment ship that are meant to sustain such task groups out at sea. So I think China is addressing that with this program known as the Fuji class.
Yeah. Another critical piece of this puzzle, China's military, I understand, a footprint abroad, like its base in Cambodia has raised some eyebrows. What does that suggest about China's long-term strategic ambitions in Southeast Asia?
Yeah, one of the weaknesses of the Chinese Navy and the armed forces as a whole when compared to the Americans is that they have a lack of friendly bases at which they can call upon in the event that hostilities break out. And if I may just interrupt myself again, what you saw just now was the JL-3 missile. You know, it has been rumored to exist for a long time. It's only making its appearance today. I'm also seeing evidence of what is known as a DF-61. You know, that's a designation that we have not seen before. Also a DF-31BJ, again, another designation that has never been used by the armed forces. You know, those designation, the original variant of those missiles, all have in excess of 9,000 kilometers striking range. You know, the fact that they have given new designations to those older missiles tells me that they have improved some aspects of the missile. Mm-hmm. I will need time to, you know, to look again at the images, what are the aspects that have been improved upon. But I think those are, you know, very revealing weapons being unveiled for the first time. What you see right now is a DF-5C. This is an anti-satellite weapon. You know, the Americans have established the Space Force, yep. And I think space is the next frontier in warfare. The Americans have taken strides in it, but it's not going as fast as I think it would be. Okay. That particular weapon is meant to take down satellites that are beyond the near orbit.
Right. Yeah. Olivia, I want to ask you about the politics now. Donald Trump doesn't speak much, we know, probably watching. He has said, you know, he's not worried, we know that. He believes he has a good relationship with Xi Jinping, and also said that China needs us more than we need them. I'm wondering what Beijing's response is going to be, you think?
Just to point out that we're moving probably into the next segment, the air column, where we are seeing the jets flying by right now. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, but back to your point about this rivalry between China and the US, one of the things that I wanted to talk about as we're watching this showcase of military equipment from China was that earlier this year, China announced that it would increase its defense budget by 7.2%. And that's the same level of increase as in 2024 and marked the 10th straight year of single-digit growth. And this comes amid growing competition with the US, which has, like we were saying before, has called on its defense partners to boost spending in order to counter China specifically. It was very explicit in saying that. And what we do know also is that China's defense spending, despite its continual increase each year, is still behind the US by about 3 times. And so what was significant, though, is that despite this gap still, is that last year the Pentagon said that China's military buildup was a pacing challenge and that it had a stronger ability to fight and win wars. We also saw reports about, you know, China's nuclear stockpile growing faster than any other country. And this is all part of the PLA's ongoing modernization drive. It's internal, but also it clearly sends a signal, especially with those goals in mind. You know, China is all about these short, medium, long-term goals. 2027, when the PLA marks its 100th anniversary, it has certain benchmarks that it wants to achieve. By 2035, you know, modernization should be, you know, mostly complete. And 2049, when the PRC marks its 100th founding anniversary, it expects to have a world-class military, which some observers interpret as that it will be able to match the US. So, yeah, I believe the US would be watching this closely. Yeah.